this congregation has continued to grow over the past several years, one of the needs that I have seen is a need for us to revisit the subject of worship, what worship is and its purpose, and what we are to do as we come together for worship. We looked at this subject about 4 years ago, but I believe that it's time for us to look at this again. So throughout the summer, we are going to be looking at this subject, and each week we're going to be looking at a different aspect of the our worship and our role within worship. And this morning, I want us to first understand that the act of worship, as we come together, is both an opportunity and a great responsibility. It's an opportunity in that we have the chance to give God our very best. We have the chance to give God back from that which He has given us. And so it's a great opportunity, but it is also a tremendous responsibility. It's a responsibility because we are responsible to worship in a way that is both pleasing and acceptable to God. It is our call as Christians, as we come together to worship, not just to haphazardly offer something to God, but to give God something that is both pleasing to Him and acceptable to Him. And that means that we have to take the opportunity to meet the responsibility of giving God the very best that we have. And God doesn't accept and will not accept and will not find pleasing anything less than that. Now imagine with me, or I can use myself for example. I have two sons. Let's say one of my sons, going to school, typically always comes home with straight A's. Every 9 weeks he comes home and he has straight A's across the board. 9 weeks he comes home and he has B's and a couple of C's, no A's. And immediately, what am I going to be? I'm going to be displeased. And his answer is going to be, well, B's are good. Aren't B's good? C's are okay, and B's are good. What's my response as a parent going to be? That's not acceptable. Why? Because you can get what? A's. Now, are the B's bad? No. But are the B's his best? No. And so they're not acceptable. Now, if my child always made B's, and I knew that that's what he was capable of doing, and that was his very best, fine. But if I know that he's capable of more, I'm going to expect more out of my child because I want the very best from him. That's his job, to go to school. That's what I tell Andrew. I tell Andrew my job is to work and support the family financially. His job is to go to school and do his very best. And I don't accept anything else. And God, when He calls us to worship, and as we offer worship to God, nothing less than our best is acceptable to Him. If we come in with the attitude that we're going to give God the mundane or the average or our leftovers, if we're going to give God the leftover energy after we've been out all week and worked hard and then we go out Saturday night and enjoy ourselves and live it up and we come back in and we drag in Sunday, well, I just don't have much left. Sorry, God. That's not our best. God will accept only our very best because God calls us to meet the opportunity and the responsibility to worship in a way that is acceptable, in a way that is pleasing to Him. And in this series of lessons, we are going to center our thoughts around the desire to make our worship pleasing and acceptable to God, not to man. Because it is not our purpose in worship to be worshiping in a way that is pleasing to man. If we worship God truly with our hearts, then we are all going to be edified and we're going to be encouraged and we're going to be blessed. But the purpose, and we see nowhere in Scripture, and we're going to cover this as we go through the study, but nowhere in Scripture do we see the purpose of worship to be that it be pleasing in the sight of man, that it be acceptable in the sight of man. Worship is to be pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. And so that's what our thoughts are going to be centered around in this study. And today we want to first clarify that one word, acceptable. And I want us to consider this morning for just a few minutes what is and what is not acceptable to God in the way of worship. What will He and what will He not accept? The first point I want us to consider is that acceptable worship does not include what God rejects. Acceptable worship does not include those things that God has rejected. We know that God has rejected anything that includes the doctrines and the teachings of man. In Mark chapter 7, and beginning in verse 6, Jesus says, "He answered and said to them, 'Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men."'" Notice two thoughts here. Number one, he says that their hearts were what? Far from him. Were they playing the game? Were they going through the motions? Were the actions there? Yes. But was the heart there? No. And as evidence that the heart was not there, he goes on to say that the heart was not there, evidenced by the fact that they honored him with their lips and they had vain worship. And their worship was vain because they were teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. In other words, there were false teachings. They were making things binding that God did not bind. They were making requirements that God did not put in place. And because of that, their worship was not acceptable to God. Because God does not accept that which He rejects. And God rejects anything that is against or contrary to His teachings. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be laying out the different acts of worship that are outlined in Scripture, that we are told that we are to participate in, and that are to be a part of our worship. We're going to be looking at each of these acts of worship individually. And as we do, we need to be looking at what God has authorized and understand that we are not to add anything that God has not authorized. God rejects the teachings and the commandments of men. But also, God rejects worship that includes the binding of traditions. And please hear me closely as we mention this. Because oftentimes we get caught up in thinking about what we would call the ultra-liberal or the far right. But we can also get caught up going the other direction, can't we? We need to be very careful. And notice here in Mark chapter 7, in verse 8, it says, "For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do." Mark 7 and verse 13 tells us that the traditions can make God's word of no effect. Now, are traditions in and of themselves bad? Absolutely not. There are many traditions that we hold that are good traditions. In our worship service, it is a tradition that we offer an invitation. Is there anything in Scripture that says that we must offer a song of invitation? No, it's not there. It is a tradition. But it is a tradition that has a purpose. And it is a good tradition, and it's a tradition that we continue because there is a purpose and a good reason behind it. And yet we must always recognize that it is what? A tradition. And if I were to stand before you today and say that we are sinning, if we were to leave out an invitation, then I would be what? I would be teaching that which is false. I would be making binding that which God has not bound. I would be taking a tradition and making it a requirement. We have to be very careful in worship that we do not take our traditions and begin making them as binding. There are many things that we hold as opinions or that we hold as tradition that we simply do not find in Scripture. And so if I start coming in and I say, because I think that everyone should wear a suit and a tie when they serve the Lord's Supper, therefore, that's the requirement, that's what you have to do, is that binding in Scripture? No, it's not there. It might have a purpose, it might be good, and then again, it might not be. It might be a tradition that we need to look at. There may be many other traditions that we need to look at. So there are things that God simply has not made binding. And if we take those things that He has not made binding and bind them, then that worship is not acceptable to God. We must be very careful within the body of Christ that when we come together for worship, that we clearly understand that which is tradition and that which is required. Oftentimes we label congregations, and we call them ultra-liberal or far-right because they have broken from tradition. Not because they've done anything that's against Scripture, but because they've done something that I'm not used to doing, and I don't necessarily like it. Therefore, they're liberal. We have to be very careful about binding tradition, because God rejects worship that includes the binding of traditions. So we see that acceptable worship does not include what God rejects. But also I will submit to you this morning that acceptable worship includes only that which comes from Christ or is authorized by God. Acceptable worship only includes those things that we have authorized or that we have direct example of. And to try to add anything else is not acceptable to God. You've heard these illustrations, and I'll give another one this morning you may have heard of as well. But if I were to send my son to the store and told him to get milk, and he comes home and he brings home chocolate milk, has he done what I told him to do? Did he bring home milk? Is it what I wanted? What did he do? He added an ingredient that I did not authorize. He added something to that order that I did not ask him to add. I asked for milk. Chocolate milk has milk in it, but it has an additive that I did not want in my milk. I wanted milk. I wanted white milk. But he brought something extra. He added something in that I didn't want. We have to be very careful in the body of Christ that we're not adding things into our worship that we have no authorization for adding. Has the use of instruments in worship come from Christ? No, it hasn't. Has the restriction of the Lord's Supper to only one time per month come from Christ? No, it hasn't. Has the use of women to lead in public aspects of worship come from Christ? No, it has not. And if for us to add anything into our worship that has not come from Christ, has not been authorized, then it is not acceptable to God, because God only accepts that which He includes as worship. And so for us to be adding in things that are not in keeping, then we might as well go out and buy chocolate milk, because it is not acceptable to God. For example, if we were to decide that instead of grape juice, which we have authorized in Scripture, or fruit of the vine, that we're going to get cran grape. Yeah, that's good. I like that. That tastes better. That cran grape juice is pretty good stuff. But are cranberries fruit of the vine? And so what have we done? We have added to something that we have no authorization to add to. Acceptable worship includes that which has been authorized by God. But then, as we consider this, what does God desire in worship? If we're going to talk about acceptable worship and we talk about all the negatives and what God doesn't want, what God is going to reject, what does He accept? What does God want in worship? Three things this morning, and the lesson will be yours. Number one, God desires that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 4 and verse 24, Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Now, I've heard preachers get up and say that means that you're supposed to worship in the right frame of mind. The word spirit here is in reference not to an attitude, but to a being. We are in Christ as we have been baptized into Christ. And Christ said, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. No one can come unto the Father except by me. And so Christ is the truth. And Jesus said we are to worship in spirit, in the spirit, and in the truth. In other words, the spirit and Christ are to be a part of us, within us, in our worship. We are baptized into Christ, and when we're baptized into Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. He's within us, just as Christ is within us, and we worship in spirit and in truth. And so acceptable worship is worship, or worship that God desires, is worship that is in spirit and in truth. In other words, when Christ is within us. But also, God desires our worship to be a spiritual sacrifice that is acceptable to Him. God desires worship that is a spiritual sacrifice. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 4, says, "Coming to Him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." You see, our worship is an offering to God. The Israelite people offered sacrifices on a regular basis, and there are a number of different types of sacrifices that they offered. The majority of those sacrifices were in connection with their worship. And as they offered those sacrifices up to God, they couldn't just be anything. And they couldn't just have any frame of mind in order for it to be acceptable to God. If that offering was not that which God had authorized, then it was not accepted. And oftentimes, I think one of the greatest failings we have in the church is conveying the message that our worship is an offering and a sacrifice to God. And I ask you this morning, what have you offered to Him today? As you came in this auditorium this morning, what have you offered to God? Have you offered God the very best that you have? Or have you just been kind of haphazard? This is the reason why I become so distressed when I see some of our lackadaisical attitudes towards worship. As I've said before, people don't realize that when you're standing a foot above everybody else in the auditorium, you see things. You see a lot that other people don't see. And it distresses me when I see the joking and the talking and the revolving door and the notes being passed and the different things going on where it's obvious your minds are not on worship to God. I've seen it where notes are being passed in front, notes are being passed behind, notes are being passed side to side. I've even seen people walk out in the aisle and pass notes across the aisle to somebody across from them. And they may be in an in-depth Bible study, I don't know. But I do know that our time for Bible study is another time. Our time for worship within study is corporately together now. And for us to be involved in all these other things, we cannot be offering an acceptable sacrifice before God. We need to be thinking about our mindset. We need to be thinking about what we are offering to God, because God desires worship that is a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to Him. Am I giving Him my best? Am I giving Him the very best that I have as I offer praise to Him in song? As I go before Him in prayer, as I partake of the memorial, and as I study God's Word together with other Christians and hear His Word preached, am I giving my best in worship? Acceptable worship to God is worship that is a spiritual sacrifice to Him. But then finally, God desires worship that proclaims His praises. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, the writer goes on to say, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." One of the primary purposes of our worship to God is an opportunity to offer praise to Him. And truly acceptable worship to God is worship that proclaims the praise of God, that offers praise to Him, that glorifies Him. This morning, as you've come into worship, have you offered a worship before God that is acceptable? Have you offered a worship that is in keeping with what He has called for in worship? Have you in some way made binding that which is not binding? Or have you instead added something which God has not authorized? Have you come before God and offered acceptable worship that is in spirit and in truth? Offered worship that is a sacrificial offering before God and praised Him from your heart and from your life? This morning, is your worship acceptable to God? We can be involved in all kinds of great things here at Plymouth. We can do all kinds of great works. We can have all kinds of benevolence programs and building programs and study programs. We can be involved in outreach here and outreach there. We can do all kinds of great things, but if our worship is not acceptable to God, we have achieved absolutely nothing. If we're involved every day of the week out doing all kinds of great programs and works, but we come together on the first day of the week and offer a vain worship to God, then we have achieved nothing. Our worship matters. What we offer to God matters. And this morning, what have you offered to God? What is your attitude towards worship? Are you offering a worship that is acceptable before the sight of Almighty God? As we go through this study, I hope that you search your hearts, but also that you search your minds, and more importantly, search God's Word. That you not accept what Bill Weaver says, but you accept only that which the Scriptures say. As we work together to worship in a way that is holy and acceptable before God. As I said earlier, one of the traditions that we have, which is a good one, is on the first day of the week to offer, after the sermon, to offer an invitation. And this invitation is for the purpose and is extended to anyone who has a need. If you are not a Christian, if you've not given your life to Christ through baptism, if you've not taken on Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've not been baptized for the remission of your sins, this is an opportunity for you to respond and to acknowledge your desire to become a Christian. For this morning is also your opportunity, if you are a Christian. If you have a burden, if you have a need, it may be that you have a sin that you have committed in your life that's of a public nature, and you need to make an acknowledgement of that before this congregation. It may be that you're having struggles in your life, and you simply need our prayers and our encouragement and our help. It may be that you're having problems in your family, and you just need the encouragement and prayers of this congregation. This invitation is open to all, anyone who has need. And if we can serve you in a public way as a body of believers today, we invite you to come as we stand together and as we sing.